The Rogue River now flows free for its final 150 or so miles to the ocean. Three dams have been removed from the Rogue along the river between Grants Pass and Medford. To the south, the future envisioned for the Klamath River is similar, with four dams slated for removal, three in California, one in Oregon. But these are big dams still generating electrical power, and as we've learned, they don't come out overnight. Scoping meetings held by California's Water Agency were supposed to start yesterday in Yreka. That meeting was postponed because of the weather. The next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow evening in Arcata. Many people have an interest in the process, including the Yurok tribe, which has long envisioned a Klamath River restored to a more natural state. Amy Cordalis is a member of the Yurok tribe and an attorney for the tribe and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about where things stand and where they might go from here. Hi, Amy.
Good morning. Sianakoi, as we say in Yurok country.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the welcome. How important is dam removal to the Yurok tribe?
Dam removal is the top priority for the Yurok tribe, and it has been ever since we realized that the dams have had the most negative impact on our fishery, which our fishery is critical to our survival. One of the things we have out in Yurok country is that if there are no Klamath River salmon, if there are no more Klamath River salmon, then there would be no more Yurok people. So salmon in the Klamath River are essential to our survival and our way of life. So removing those dams is critical to preserving who we are as a people and maintaining our culture.
Absolutely central to the identity of the Yurok people then.
Yes. Absolutely.
I was looking at the pictures and comments from the two governors, and it was then Schwarzenegger and Kulongoski signing the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement back in 2010. I mean, what has been the feeling of tribal leaders as this process has dragged on?
Well, so it's been a long process, as you mentioned, and we realized that removal of four dams on the Klamath River is the largest dam removal project in history, and that in order to do that in a good way that protects the interests of the people who are affected by dam removal and protects the environment, it's going to require partnerships and it's going to require a significant amount of environmental review to be sure that everything is removed and done in a good way. And so although we've been, you know, frustrated that the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement failed, and that Congress didn't act over a five-year period when they had the opportunity to pass federal legislation that would have authorized dam removal. You know, we were encouraged when the stakeholders came back to the table in 2016, reevaluated and recognized that we needed to make some amendments, make some changes in order to accomplish dam removal. And so while we're frustrated that it's taken so long, we realize that now we're on a good path toward dam removal and we're in it for the long haul. And as long as the process results in dams coming out, you know, we're committed.
Is there a sense of optimism, even if it's a cautious optimism at the moment?
I would say yes, yes. You know, I'm always hesitant to say absolutely, but at the same time, the amendment, the 2016 amendment to the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement, so the KHSA, which took dam removal out of Congress and back into the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, so FERC, that was very encouraging. And now that we are going through the FERC process, we have basically complied with all of the requirements, and we've been close to meeting most of the deadlines set out in the amended KHSA to accomplish dam removal by 2020. So, and we're getting good feedback from our partners that dam removal is on track. So, you know, I think we're feeling optimistic that we're moving forward. We are cautious because we understand that there are a number of different procedural issues or legal issues that could delay dam removal. But we are, you know, preparing to address those as we go through the process. And so we remain somewhat optimistic that we'll be successful.
We're talking about Klamath River Dam removal with Amy Cordalis, who is a Yurok tribal member and an attorney for the tribe. Obviously, the Yurok tribe very much in favor of dam removal, seeking a free-flowing Klamath River once again. We're talking about the J.C. Boyle Dam in Oregon and COPCO 1, COPCO 2, and the Iron Gate Dams in California. Your thoughts are welcome in this conversation. What do you think should be happening with the Klamath Dams, either in terms of final disposition or process to that disposition? Join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. There's always a danger of getting off into the weeds and the initials, and thank you very much for describing these along the way. You've done well with the KHSA and the KBRA. The fact is that there were lots of bits of paper generated and lots of people brought together for the process of dealing with the Klamath River. Did that sometimes get confusing even to the players involved, Amy?
Absolutely. We're dealing with a pyramid of federal, state, and tribal laws, all that have to come together in order to facilitate this process. And to do it in a way, as I mentioned earlier, that protects the interests of landowners, tribes, environmental concerns, economic interests, so on and so forth. So that requires a lot of time. The scoping meetings that are occurring now, they will regard coming up with what should be included and what should be considered in the environmental impact report related to dam removal. And these are actually processes that we've already gone through back in 2007 and in 2012. And so these new processes will consider what's happened since 2012, any updated information. And, that's all the way to point out that we've been through these processes for over 10 years now. And every single one of those environmental impact reports, environmental impact statements have said that dam removal is in the best interest of our communities, in the best interest of our environment. And so, we're at a point now where it's time to get on with the actual, decommissioning and removal. But this state water board process and then the FERC process is sort of the last legal procedural requirements that we need to go through in order to actually start, removal of the dams.
So clearly lots of hurdles to cover anyway. I mean, even if everybody mm-hmm. were completely 100% in favor of this. And that raises the question, who opposes this when you've got even the original owner of the dams, and technically they no longer are, Pacific Power, saying, yeah, let's take them out?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's an incredibly important point, is that PacifiCorp made the business decision that it was in the best interest of their ratepayers and the corporation to remove these dams because they were no longer beneficial to the corporation and to their ratepayers. So that's a key point here, and that's really what drove the initial sort of movement to remove dams. The folks that oppose that are, people in the Southern Oregon area who, may be attached to a certain way of life, who have landowner interests, that kind of thing. And, we understand that removing the dams will change things for people who live on the Klamath River, and we're sympathetic to those interests. And that's why we support these kind of legal processes to make sure that those people's interests are protected. But in the big scheme of things, dam removal has been determined throughout 10 years of legal processes and environmental review that dam removal is in the best interest of the communities. It's in the best interest of economic development. It's in the best interest of the various tribes along the river and protecting their cultural ways of life, and I would say their economic interests as well. So, the process is moving forward, and we all, in my mind, should start thinking about what it means to have a free-flowing, fully restored Klamath River and how beautiful and amazing and powerful that will be for all of us who live in this area, who love, fish and the outdoors, and who, want to be a part of creating a community that values salmon, that values sturgeon, that values, you know, all the various fish species, and that values clean water, you know, and healthy habitats. And you know, that's where I encourage us all to move towards, is thinking in that way.
Amy Cordalis, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, attorney for the Yurok Tribe and a member of the tribe herself. We're talking about the process of removing dams from the Klamath River. There are three in California slated for removal and one in Oregon, and obviously a very long process to go through. Scoping meetings with the California State Water Board begin tomorrow night in Arcata at 5 o'clock at the D Street Neighborhood Center. There's another one in Sacramento on January 20th at 10 in the morning at the Cal EPA building. You can join this discussion now if you have thoughts about the Klamath River dams and the process that's been gone through so far and what remains yet to be done. We'd love to hear from you. Join the conversation at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. We'd talked about the agreements. KBRA, the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, was seen as the real keynote document that got a lot of people agreeing on ways to move ahead in restoring the Klamath Basin, upper and lower. That did expire. Was that 2015 it expired, the end of 2015?
Yes.
Okay. And what? So what was that seen as a death knell for some people? I mean, this is a long process, as you've already indicated, and you got a good view of the overall timeline here. But was it viewed by you or anybody else in the tribe as perhaps this might undo the deal?
Absolutely. There were some pretty dire moments leading up to the termination of the KBRA. And I think a lot of us had to do some very deep soul searching to decide how we were going to accomplish our goals in the basin without the KBRA. And that's where there was some strong leadership from PacifiCorps, the states, and the federal government to get the parties back together, at least on the dam removal component, and facilitate the amendment to the KHSA so that we could at least get dam removal going. With that, there is still a hole there where the KBRA regarded fish restoration, it had a water balance, and various other components that led to comprehensive restoration in the Klamath Basin. The work that we still need to do is to fill in those other components and work with our neighbors to figure out how we're going to handle water shortages. What do fisheries restoration and fisheries reintroduction look like? The bottom line is that when the dams come out, the fish are going to head up the river. And, you know, there is about, let's see, the dams block, I think it's around 200 miles of fish habitat and spawning ground. Once those dams are out, you know, those fish are going to head upriver. That's what they do. And so we need to have in place, you know, programs that facilitate restoration of those habitats and reintroduction. And quite frankly, we need to have water to support the fish. And so we still have work to do on the river to figure out how we're going to accomplish those goals while ensuring that our partners at the top of the river, the agricultural people, the ranchers, have some security. We recognize that we are all here to stay, and we've got to figure out how to make both of our lifestyles sustainable. And so that's the work that we're going to need support from our neighbors, from Congress, to accomplish.
You had mentioned earlier that the KHSA, the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement, was renewed. That was in April of last year. Is it essentially the same document, or did it pick up some of the pieces from the KBRA that was not renewed?
It did not pick up any of the pieces of the KBRA. Really, what the KHSA in 2016 was amended, and it was amended in a way that transferred dam removal from Congress back into the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC. And FERC is the regulatory entity that has jurisdiction over any kind of, you know, energy-powered project, hydroelectric projects. And so, we really just transfer the process back to FERC, which had jurisdiction over it anyways. And so the amendments were really just limited to transferring that.
So I did peruse it again. That is a lot of document, the KHSA. I mean, does it need to be as detailed as it is?
Yes, it does. And believe it or not, there will be more documents forthcoming to support the work that is outlined in the amended KHSA.
Really? I mean, yeah. more stuff that gets specific about what happens with the removal of these specific dams, that kind of thing?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So, Amy, was there any template for either the KHSA or any of these other subsequent documents you're talking about? I mean, you talk about this is the biggest dam removal ever. I can't imagine there was anything sitting on a shelf you could just kind of copy and paste.
Well, to some extent, there was. We've seen real success stories out of the Elwha River up in Washington, mm-hmm. and that was a process that both Republican and Democratic presidential administrations and senators and representatives supported. And through the Elwha Dam removal project, they had to go through similar legal reviews and, you know, environmental compliance, that kind of stuff. And so there were some documents that we could rely on that supported those processes that we certainly looked to inform our work on the Klamath. But then we also had to, you know, identify the circumstances on our river, think about the technical situations. This is four dams. They've been in the water they've been in the river for a while. There's sediment issues. There's algae behind the dams now that's really dangerous. So there were things that we had to contemplate in order to make sure that that dam removal was accomplished in a way that was best for our river.
Again, we're talking to Amy Cordalis from the Yurok Tribe. She's an attorney for the tribe as well, about dam removal on the Klamath River, the three dams in California and one in Oregon slated for removal, water quality meetings, or at least scoping meetings for the California State Water Board, were to begin yesterday in Yreka. That was snowed out. It'll start tomorrow in Arcata with a meeting at 5 o'clock at the D Street Neighborhood Center. You can join our conversation now. Let's talk about Klamath Dam removal and what that means to you. 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Are you planning on attending the meeting in Arcata tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And how familiar are the players in the process? I mean, when you show up for this, like, hey, Amy, what's going on, Bob? How's it going, Karen? Is it?
We're old friends by now. Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of people have been working on this for a very, very long time, and even though the pure environmental review even started 10 years ago, people had been working on these issues and dealing with problems in the Klamath Basin. I mean, some would say since 1855. But we all are friends now. There's been some, up and down in the relationship. But I think the story here is that, in 2002, we had the most massive fish kill in American history on the lower part of the Klamath River within the boundaries of the Yurok Reservation. And for my community, that was like the end of the world. That was devastating to us. And I always say it was like a form of ecocide where, you attack the very essence of what a people rely on to survive. And that's a way of killing who you are as a person. And we sort of started this process there and went through, 10 or so years of litigation and fighting back and forward, and then came to the table to negotiate these agreements in recognition that no one was winning. No one was having a sustainable way of life where they had security. And so, when you come to these scoping meetings and, you see people that you started out fighting against and now you're pals. And I hope that as we move forward and as we get closer to dam removal and as we, move towards more economic security for all of our communities, we can continue to have that positive relationship despite the ups and downs.
So the process that's going on with California and the State Water Board right now is ultimately leading to a water quality permit. The DEQ in Oregon has to do a similar process. I mean, if the stars align, if all the permits are issued and even funding comes through, and there are some designated funds, is it possible, do you think, that work could start in 2020?
Absolutely. And in fact, that's the goal that was set in the amended KHSA. That's the goal that is set in all of the, you know, permit applications that have been filed with the State Water Board and also with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So we are all working very hard to stay on that timeline of beginning dam removal by 2020.
Was the original goal to actually have the dams out by 2020? I mean, it's hard to think of original goals after all these years, but there were timelines.
The original KHSA contemplated dam removal to begin by 2020.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there we go. I'm back in the same place. So good luck on the meeting tomorrow. That is, again, at the D Street Neighborhood Center, 1301 D Street in Arcata, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And people can comment on this as well through, looks like, email to the California State Water Board.
Yes.
All right.
That's right. Yeah.
Amy Cordalis is a member of the Yurok tribe and an attorney for the tribe, and obviously very well versed in the not only the legal ins and outs of this, but also the cultural stuff. And you can hear how central fish in the Klamath River are to the identity of the Yurok tribe. Amy, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts and your expertise with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Have a good day.